This is WSIU Radio, your NPR station. I'm Jeff Williams. The escapades of Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson return to the silver screen in a slightly different adaptation of Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's classic works. This time with the comedy duo Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly, respectively, in the roles. SIU Review's film critic Walter Metz takes a closer look at Holmes and Watson.
At the conclusion to the much-reviled Holmes and Watson, directed by Ethan Coen, the crime-fighting duo say goodbye to the women with whom they've fallen in love. Watson's infatuations are split between absurdly Queen Victoria and Dr. Grace Hart, with whom the doctor conducts an autopsy to track down the mastermind behind a plot to assassinate the queen. Meanwhile, Sherlock Holmes, played by Will Ferrell, vomits the whole time, unable to stand the gore associated with this aspect of detective work. It's refreshing to see an obnoxious hero like Sherlock Holmes handed his just desserts now and again. In one of the film's most aggressive maneuvers, which will surely drive earnest Sherlock Holmes fans to distraction, the detective falls in love with Millie, whom Grace claims to have raised in a feral state as a science experiment. Here we are far away from Irina Adler, the only woman on the planet apparently smarter than Sherlock Holmes, in Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's sexist imagination. He indeed obnoxiously strips her of her name, calling her instead merely the woman. Ferrell portrays Holmes in the presence of Millie as a jittery schoolboy, smitten. Jeremy Brett is surely turning over in his grave, but luckily for us, we can't hear him doing so. In the third act, the film jumps narrative rails, locating its setting as April 1912, oddly 11 years after the death of Queen Victoria. Holmes thanks Watson for his help in solving the case. In another assault on the Sherlock Holmes canon, the beloved Mrs. Hudson from the Basil Rathbone films and the Benedict Cumberbatch television show turns out to be the villain, and evil Professor Moriarty's daughter to boot. With Watson's help, Holmes discovers the location of the bomb, throwing it off the Titanic, killing the housekeeper-turned-villain in her lifeboat. This is a turning point in the relationship between Holmes and Watson. In this version of the tale, Holmes steals all of the credit for their work together, refusing to grant Watson his wish to be labeled a co-detective at 221B Baker Street. However, after the Titanic caper is solved, Holmes sees the light and lavishes praise on his sidekick, publicly announcing that Watson's name should forevermore be associated with the greatness of the Titanic. Chaotic buffoonery wins the day, as a decade-since-dead queen is saved from an ocean liner that is about to become the greatest tragedy at sea in human history. In 2018, we Americans should understand something about such political buffoonery. Part of a series of jokes in Holmes and Watson, including a moment when the detective seeks out a proper hat, not having discovered the Deerstalker signature hat. In one of the candidates is a red mega hat, Make England Great Again. As Holmes says goodbye to Millie as she is about to board the Titanic, she reveals that she was only pretending to be uneducated, allowing herself to conduct a sociological experiment of her own. Holmes attempts to one-up her, claiming that he knew of her ruse all along, but of course he has clearly been bested by the gender ideology of 2018, which has long since discarded the mores of the early 20th century. Holmes and Watson is no better nor worse than other contemporary Holmes stories, which all find ways of constructing three-dimensional female characters who are not named Irina Adler. In short, for someone like me who just likes to watch movies, particularly ones featuring Sherlock Holmes, a beloved figure in my life, largely because of my long-since-passed father's infatuation with him, Holmes and Watson delivers plenty of engaging circumstances and even thematic material on which to ponder. And even for the purists who have surely abandoned my line of reasoning, the film turns back toward the source texts in unexpected ways. Indeed, the foundational Sherlock Holmes story by Arthur Conan Doyle, A Study in Scarlet from 1887, is set in Salt Lake City in 1847. While Holmes, Watson, and Moriarty never stepped foot in the United States, Basil Rathbone did go to Washington, D.C. during World War II, desperate for the powerful nation to aid in the rescuing of Britain from the Nazis. In no more improbable an occurrence, the final shot of Holmes and Watson finds the co-detectives having traveled to the American West, presumably having either survived or skirted the sinking of the Titanic. They have tracked Moriarty in a wildly optimistic gambit for a sequel, Holmes and Watson Together Again, perhaps hoping for a Metascore of 25. Long live the Queen, long live popular film criticism.
Holmes and Watson is currently showing at a theater near you. Walter Betts is a professor of film studies in the College of Mass Communication and Media Arts at Southern Illinois University, Carbondale. You can hear more SIU reviews on our webpage, wsiunews.org. I'm Jeff Williams.